జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారిణి గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివరధారిణి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారిణి గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివరధారి యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావన చారీ యశోదానందన యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావన చారీ యశోదానందన జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివరధారి యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావన చారీ యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ హరే రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ హరే రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಹಾಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಜಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಚಂದ್ರ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಚಂದ್ರ ರಾಧೇ ಜಯ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಬಲದೇವ ಜಯ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ 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 ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾತ್ 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 ನೇತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಯೌ ಸೌ ತ್ವಯಾಕರ ಸರೋಜ ಹತಃ ಪತಂಗೋ ದಿಕ್ಷು ಭ್ರಮನ್ ಭ್ರಮತ ಯೇ ಜಯತೆ ಅಕ್ಷಿಣೀ ಮೇ ಮುಕ್ತಂ ನತೆ ಸ್ಮರಸಿ ವಕ್ರಜತಾವರೂಟಂ ಕಷ್ಟೋ ಅನಿಲೋ ಹರತಿ ಲಂಪಟಯೇ ಶನೀವಿಂ ಯೋಸೌ ತ್ವಯಾಕರ ಸರೋಜ ಹತಃ ಪತಂಗೋ ದಿಕ್ಷು ಭ್ರಮನ್ ಭ್ರಮತ ಯೇ ಜಯತೆ ಅಕ್ಷಿಣೀ ಮೇ ಮುಕ್ತಂ ನತೆ ಸ್ಮರಸಿ ವಕ್ರಜತಾವರೂತಂ ಕಷ್ಟೋ ಅನಿಲೋ ಹರತಿ ಲಂಪಟಯೇ ಶನೀವಿಂ ಯೋಸೌ ತ್ವಯಾಕರ ಸರೋಜ ಹತಃ ಪತಂಗೋ ದಿಕ್ಷು ಭ್ರಮನ್ ಭ್ರಮತ ಯೇ ಜಯತೆ ಅಕ್ಷಿಣೀ ಮೇ ಮುಕ್ತಂ ನತೆ ಸ್ಮರಸಿ ವಕ್ರಜತಾವರೂತಂ ಕಷ್ಟೋ ಅನಿಲೋ ಹರತಿ ಲಂಪಟಯೇ ಶನೀವಿಂ ಯಹ ವಿಚ್ ಅಸೌ ದಟ್ ತ್ವಯಾ ವಯು ಕರ ಸರೋಜ ವಿತ್ ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಪಾಮ್ ಹತಃ ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ ಪತಂಗಃ ದ ಬಾಲ್ ದಿಕ್ಷು ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ಡಿರೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಭ್ರಮನ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್ ಭ್ರಮತಃ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ಲೆಸ್ ಯೇ ಜಯತೆ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬ್ಸ್ ಅಕ್ಷಿಣಿ ಐಸ್ ಮೇ ಆಫ್ ಮೀ ಮುಕ್ತಂ ಸ್ಕ್ಯಾಟರ್ಡ್ ನ ನಾಟ್ ತೇ ಯುವರ್ ಸ್ಮರಸಿ ಆರ್ ಯು ಮೈಂಡ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಫ್ ವಕ್ರ ಕರ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಜತ ಆಫ್ ಹೇರ್ ವರುಟಂ ಬಂಚಸ್ ಕಷ್ಟ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ ಅನಿಲ ವಿಂಡ್ ಹರತಿ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಅವೇ ಲಂಪಟ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಟು ಎ ವುಮನ್ ಏಷ ದಿಸ್ ನೀವಿಂ ಲೋಯರ್ ಗಾರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಪರ್ಪಡ್ ಬೈ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ Translation. My mind is already restless, and by playing with a ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to woman, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Tarpat. The girl Purvachitti was playing with a ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose and the belt holding her cloth was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidar tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. I was asked to complete this section from 14 to 21. So we'll just go through translation and purports. Text 15, translation. O best among those performing austerities, where did you get this wonderful beauty that dismantles the austerities performed by others? Where have you learned this art? What austerity have you undergone to achieve this beauty, my dear friend? I desire that you join me to perform austerity and penance. For it may be that the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, being pleased with me, has sent you to become my wife. Purport. Agnidar appreciated the wonderful beauty of Purvachitti. Indeed, he was surprised to see such exceptional beauty, which must have been the result of past austerities and penances. He therefore asked the girl whether she had achieved such beauty just to break the penances and austerities of others. He thought Lord Brahma, creator of universe, might have been pleased with him and might therefore have sent her to become his wife. He requested Purvachitti to become his wife so that together they could perform austerities and penances in family life. In other words, suitable wife helps her husband perform penance and austerity in household life. If both of them are on same elevator platform of spiritual understanding. Without spiritual understanding, husband and wife cannot be equally situated. Lord Brahma, creator of the universe, interested in good progeny. Therefore, unless he is pleased, one cannot get a suitable wife. In fact, Lord Brahma is worshipped in marriage ceremonies. In India, even today, wedding invitations are still issued with picture of Lord Brahma on the face of card. I don't know how many of you observed it. Translation next, 16th. Lord Brahma, who is worshipped by the Brahmanas, has very mercifully given to me, you to me, and that's why I have met you. I don't want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you and can't be drawn away. O woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like, and your friends may also allow me. Purport. Now Agnidara frankly admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachitti, and therefore before she could say, but I have no business with you, he expressed his desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, hell, heaven, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservation. Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. Text 17. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidar, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Since King Agnidar was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment. But because he wanted a wife for progeny, and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachitti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called as Vidagdha. 18. Attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, magnanimity of Agnidar, the king of Jambudvip and master of all heroes, Purvachitti lived with him for many thousands of years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. By the grace of Lord Brahma, Agnidar and the heavenly girl Purvachitti found their union quite suitable. Thus, they enjoyed worldly and heavenly happiness for many thousands of years. 19. In the womb of Purvachitti, Agnidar Maharaj, the best of kings, begot 9 sons named Nabi, Kim Purusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrata, Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Badrashva, and Ketumala. 20. Purvachitti gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year, but after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. Purport. There are many instances in which Apsaras, heavenly angels, have descended to this earth by the order of superior demigod like Lord Brahma or Indra. I have followed their demigod's order by marrying someone and giving birth to children, and have returned to their celestial homes. For example, after Menaka, a celestial woman who had come to delude Vishwamitra Muni, gave birth to child Shakuntala, she left both the child and her husband and returned to heavenly planets. Purvachitti did not remain permanently with Maharaj Agnidar. After cooperating in his household affairs, she left Maharaj Agnidar and all 9 sons and returned to Brahma to worship him. 21. Because of drinking the breast milk of their mother, the 9 sons of Agnidar naturally had strong, well-built bodies. Their father gave them each a kingdom in a different part of Jambudvip. The kingdom were named according to names of the sons. Thus, sons of Agnida ruled the kingdom they received from their father. Purport. The Acharya specifically mentioned that in this verse, the words Matu Anugrahat, by the mercy of their mother, refer to breast milk of their mother. In India, it is common belief that if a baby is fed mother's milk for at least 6 months, his body will be very strong. Besides that, it is mentioned herein that all sons of Agnidar were endowed with nature of their mother. Bhagavad Gita 1.40 also declares, Strishu Dushtashu Vashneya Jayate Varnashankaraha. When women are polluted, Varnasankara, unqualified children are generated. And when the Varnasankara population increases, the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, according to Manusamhita, woman needs protection, great deal of protection, in order to remain pure and chaste, so that her children can be fully engaged for the benefit of human society. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutalem Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class and the blessings of all the devotees assembled here in this temple hall and also who are hearing from FM or YouTube, whatever, so that they can bless me, so that I can speak something from this very difficult section to glorify the Lord for Lord's pleasure and for all the Vaishnavas. So I divided today's class into three sections. First is, we see the chronology, the systematic flow of Srimad Bhagavatam. And second thing is, what this narration, particular narration, is teaching us, and what is the alternative solution Bhagavatam offers for the problem that is discussed in this narration. Yes. So it's a very, very difficult section to speak about. So I seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas once again. So if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes when we read, when you go through it, it seems to be completely not so systematic. In the beginning, it begins with Sudha Goswami, and then Shukadeva Goswami come, and suddenly Vidura Maitreya come, and then Lord Brahma, creation starts. So, but Acharyas tell that Srimad Bhagavatam actually is a very chronological flow, which actually starts from third canto. If you see first canto, how it begins, as we know, all the Naimisharanya sages assemble in Naimisharanya, Saunakadi rishis, and they ask 6 questions to Sutta Goswami. And first canto, second chapter and third chapter goes in answering those 6 questions. Yes? And being inspired by the answers given by Sutta Goswami, Saunakadi rishi asks more questions regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, all those things. And almost from 5th chapter till 19th chapter, answers questions asked by Saunakadi rishis, by Sutta Goswami. Is how the question basically is how Srimad Bhagavatam came out and how Parikshit Maharaj met Shukadeva Goswami. Yes.
And then the background starts, how Vasudev got inspired, how he once got disappointed by writing, after writing all Vedic literatures, and then how Narada Muni instructed him to write Bhagavatam, and then eventually how the activity, the events leading to Parikshit Maharaj's birth, and events leading to Parikshit Maharaj enthroned in the kingdom, and how eventually he got cursed, and how Sukadeva Goswami comes. That 19th chapter describes about appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. And then Parikshit asks two questions to Sukadeva Goswami. That what is the duty of the people in general, and what is the duty of person who is about to die. Yes. And then second canto onwards, Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking. And second canto begins with answering questions by Parikshit, questions of Parikshit Maharaj by Sukadeva Goswami. Yes. And then Sukadeva Goswami tells what a human being should do and what he should not do. And then it proceeds further, and then more questions Parikshit asks to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami mentions that the same question which you are asking is asked by Vidura to Maitreya. And that's how second canto ends. And third canto begins with again Vidura Maitreya Samvad. Yes, because he mentions that he quotes the same narration by Vidura Maitreya. And third canto onwards, third canto almost till 11th canto we can see, is actually a biography of one day of Brahma. If you write biography of Brahma's one day, so that is from 3rd canto till 11th canto, or 12th canto for that matter. This third canto tells about the appearance of Lord Brahma, and how from Lord Brahma, Swayambhu Manu appears, Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa, and how from them, they are their five children, Uttanapad, Priyavrat, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti. And 3rd canto till almost 8th canto describes the generations, the next generation of Swayambhu Manu. Yes. The third canto describes about Devahuti, especially Devahuti, and then her son Lord Kapila. Because in our life also, you see, there are some events which are very prominent and some events are not so prominent, isn't it? So in Brahma's day also, there are some events which are very, very prominent, which Sukadeva Goswami selects to narrate to Parikshit Maharaj. And what are the events? The events related to either Lord's appearance or Lord's devotee's appearance. Yes. So these two are very special events in the day of Brahma. Jai Shada Vandansa Bhagavan ki, Jannadavalya Sudramai ki, Shri Gaur Nitaan ki. And whenever such events come, Sukadeva Goswami puts spotlight, focus on that. And other events, he just fast forwards. Yes. Like if you see, although Swayambhu Manu had three daughters, Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti, we don't hear much about Prasuti. Not much description is given because not so important. Especially for Parikshit, who is going to die in 7 days. But Devahuti, he puts more focus because her son is going to be Lord Kapila. Yes. And Akuti happens to be the husband of Daksha, and Daksha's pastime comes till 2, 3, 4 chapters. Yes. So third canto tells about the Lord Kapila's activities, and fourth canto beginning he tells about Uttanapad. Uttanapad is not so important, so he tells only few verses about Uttanapad. But his son is going to be a great devotee. So Sukadeva Goswami almost dedicates 3, 4 chapters only for Dhruva Maharaj. Yes. And then after Dhruva Maharaj section, then the generation goes very fast. Dhruva's son and sons and like that. And eventually when Anga comes, Anga happens to be a great devotee, then he puts some more focus light on the character of Anga. And after Anga, Vena comes. Vena not so much, but something is described, but not so much. But Anga's son is Prithu Maharaj, and some very good number of chapters are dedicated for Prithu Maharaj. Yes. And then after Prithu Maharaj, again the generation goes fast forward, and then when it comes to Prachin Barhishat, he puts pause there, and the long, almost many chapters are dedicated for Prachin Barhishat. Why? Because he happens to meet Narada Muni, and Narada Muni instructions to Prachin Barhishat. So the devotee is involved there. Yes. And Prachin Barhishat's sons happen to be Prachetas, who are more wonderful devotees. So their more focus is put there. And fourth canto, and end, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami mentions that there is one more son called Priyavrat, Swayambhu Manu, and Priyavrat was living in Narada Muni's ashram, and eventually how he took the kingdom. And fifth canto begins with that question. Yes, how, although Priyavrat Maharaj being in renounced order, how he inspired to take up this? And fifth canto begins with the Priyavrat, and then Priyavrat's son Agnidhar, and then Agnidhar's son is Nabi. Although Agnidhar had 9 sons, as we discussed, only Nabi is focused, not other sons. Why? Nabi's son is Rishabdev. And Rishabdev's son is Bharat Maharaj, isn't it? So now Rishabdev gives very detailed instructions to Bharat Maharaj, all the sons, isn't it? So those chapters are given, almost 3, 4 chapters goes there. And then eventually then 9 Varshas are described, then Jambudvip. And then the end of 5th canto, Sukadeva Goswami describes different hellish planetary system. And that description sets scene for beginning of 6th canto. Yes, because Vaishnava was very much disturbed. How can one be saved from hell? Yes, and then we ask that question in the beginning of 6th canto. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes the story of Ajamil. And then the eventually Swayambhuvanu, the general Swayambhuvanu continues again, isn't it? Where in 6th canto we find how Lord Vishnu offers protection to demigods. Although they do mistakes, still Lord Vishnu offers protection to demigods. So the whole 6th canto describes the protection of Lord Vishnu to demigods. That's why 6th canto is called as Poshanam, nourishment, protection of the devotees. The whole 6th canto goes for that. And 7th canto beginning, Parikshit Maharaj gets the question. Are Lord protects only demigods, devotees, but not demons. Is Lord partial? And that's how that canto begins. Yes. And then for answering this question, Sukadeva Goswami quotes one more narration from Rajasuya Yagna, the same question being asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Narada Muni. And then that's how the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu comes up. The whole 7th canto goes like that. And 8th canto beginning, Swayambhu Manu retires. And Swami was only first Manu, isn't it? How many Manus are there in one day of Brahma? 14 Manus. That means almost from 3rd canto till 8th canto beginning, only one Manu is described, Swayambhu Manu. And now Parikshit wants to hear about Krishna. Almost, no, 8th canto, almost you can see 3.5 days might have been gone appropriately, means approximately. No, he has to come through all 6th Manus and then 7th Manu and then Krishna pastime. How to go? Then 8th canto, if you see, Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami fast forwards. He just mentions second Manu's name, third Manu's, fourth Manu's, fifth Manu's, sixth Manu, just fast forwards. Not much description is given. Yes? And then 7th Manu, Vaiveshwara Manu comes, then Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami puts pause. And then whole 9th canto describes about 7th Manu, Vaiveshwara Manu. What are different generations in Vaiveshwara Manu? And 9th canto end. So Sukadeva Goswami just very, very briefly, in just 2 slokas, describes Krishna's pastimes. What all major pastimes of Krishna he describes in 9th canto end, last chapter. And that incites Parikshit Maharaj's hunger, thirst to hear more about Lord Krishna. And then he asks, please describe Krishna's pastimes in detail. Please don't worry about whether I am hungry or thirsty. I've not slept for last 6 days, whatever. So don't worry about it. Please describe Krishna's pastimes in detail because I'm waiting for this. So, and then Sukadeva Goswami goes in detail almost for 90 chapters describing Lord Krishna's pastimes. And then 11th canto again it continues about Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And then 12th canto he winds up. So, this is the chronological flow of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although it appears to be ambiguous and scattered, but if you see from this point of view, this is not exactly each yuga after yuga described. But it is by Manvantara wise it is described. So from Swayambhava Manu to Vaiveshwara Manu. That's how the chronological flow happens from 3rd canto till 12th cantos. Yes. And then coming to this particular narration, what is happening here? Yes. So we know Prevrat Maharaj, so he retired to the forest and then Agnidhar, he wants to have a good wife and then he goes to the celestial planets to perform austerities and Lord Brahma, knowing his desire, he sends Purvachitti. And Agnidhar goes into details of explaining her beauty to convince her to marry him. So if you see from what exactly this narration is trying to teach us, in the center of Srimad Bhagavatam it is there. So what it is teaching us? This, as our Shripad Seva Purushade was telling that prati shloke, prati akshare, Bhagavatam, every shloka, every akshara is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells the every shloka is non-different from Radha and Krishna. So how to see this narration from the overall context of Srimad Bhagavatam? If you only take this one chapter, one gets bewildered. But if you see this chapter from the overall context of Srimad Bhagavatam, that gives tremendous light. So what is it? That the conditioned soul has disease. What is the disease of conditioned soul? Enjoying mentality. Prabhupada calls it as lording over material nature. That is the exact disease of conditioned soul. And the symptoms of disease is something different. So when somebody is diseased, There is something called disease, there is something called symptoms, isn't it? So symptoms are, symptoms of conditioned soul are, you have no lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, they are symptoms. They are not actual disease. That is coming from the actual disease, enjoying mentality. I want to enjoy this material world separate from Krishna. That is the actual disease, lording over material nature. And that is manifested in the form of these six symptoms, six anarthas basically. So Srimad Bhagavatam treats the disease of the conditioned soul with the medicine. That is what it is doing. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to medicine. And when you go to doctor and doctor gives you medicine, doctor tells you two things, prescriptions and prohibitions, isn't it? Do's and don'ts. What all to do, what all you should not do. So Srimad Bhagavatam also tells the do's, prescriptions and prohibitions, don'ts. So what is the do's? What are the prescriptions? You see, Srimad Bhagavatam contains 335 chapters. How many? 335 chapters. Out of which, the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam is 10th canto. Lord Krishna's very beautiful, sweet pastimes. And the heart of 10th canto is Rasalila's pastimes. 5 chapters of Rasalila, Rasa Panchadhyaya. But to go to that stage, relishing Lord Krishna's pastimes with no lust, envy, greed in the heart requires treatment. Yes? So we cannot just go to 10th canto. Prabhupada many times warns, don't go to 10th canto directly. So in order to go to that state, one's disease has to be cured. So first 9 cantos speaks about the treatment to be taken before approaching the 10th canto. That's fine. So 10th canto speaks about prescriptions, do's, and first 9 canto speaks about what are the anti-devotional forces which are so powerful that distract a conditioned soul from going towards Krishna. Yes? And the anti-devotional force, as we know, is 6. Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. Yes? And of these 6 anti-devotional forces, the very strong forces, one of the very strong forces, lust. Yes? And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam, right from beginning till 9 cantos, again and again brings out narrations and stories where lust is no treated. The stories of people who succumb to lust is narrated. It's right from 3rd canto it begins with. It goes till 9th canto. The 3rd canto we have Lord Kapila describing about the dangers of opposite sex. This in his teachings. And 4th canto we find in Puranjan section. How Puranjan engaged with that Puranjani for so many years, still not satisfied. 5th canto, Rishabhdev gives warning about lust. Pumshastriya mituni bhavametam tayo bihirdeya grandhi mahu ata gruhakshetra sutaptavitte janasya mohoyam ahamameti. The dangers of man woman coming together without Krishna in center. 6th canto begins with Ajamila story. 7th canto Prahlad Maharaj warns how this lust is like itch, sensation of itch. Yes. 8th canto, the Mohini Murti's pastime comes. 9th canto reaches the top, because 9th canto is just 1 canto before 10th canto. The 9th canto tells many stories about the people who succumb to lust, because we are very near 10th canto. The 9th canto tells how many stories about lust? 9th canto tells almost 5 stories about this dangerous enemy. So it tells the story of Pururava, it tells story about Yayati and Shaubari Muni, and also 2 more stories come. Very shortly narrated, 2 more stories come. Soma and Brihaspati. Soma story, unites with Brihaspati's wife Tara. And Brihaspati, who is the spiritual teacher of demigods, he himself falls prey to this problem. And then he engages with his own brother's wife. Yes. So whether it is celestial or terrestrial, whether it is Brahmana or Kshatriya, lust does not discriminate. So that is a problem. So begins, that's why 9th canto gives 5 stories about this dangerous enemy called lust. And before one is treated, before one is warned again and again and taken measures, then he is given entrance to 10th canto. Yes. So that is why it's very important, it's not so easy. That's why Krishna tells so many, in 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that this lust is nitya vairi now. Eternal enemy, and it burns so much, isn't it? Just like if you see moth, When moth sees a light, fire, isn't it? And it doesn't see, it's just so much attracted to this fire, it just wants to enter and embrace that fire. And the more the moth comes closer, it is experiencing the heat, isn't it? But the attraction towards the fire is so much that the attraction desensitizes the moth that the heat caused by the fire and doesn't experience the heat because of the extreme attachment. It becomes completely desensitized and then enters the fire. So similarly, when a conditioned soul becomes too much infatuated by lust, although he's burning himself, suffering so much, but the attraction desensitizes him from this suffering, he doesn't see anything here and there. He goes to any extent for that matter. So that is the power of lust, because the attachment, the infatuation desensitizes from the suffering. That is what. So Srimad Bhagavatam warns this. It's very dangerous. So Srimad Bhagavatam does not give only the problem. Srimad Bhagavatam also gives solution. So what is solution of for this lust? That is the Lord's beautiful form and Lord's beautiful name. So these two solutions Bhagavatam offers. Of course, one more thing is Lord's beautiful fame. The Lord's beautiful form, Lord's beautiful fame and Lord's beautiful name are the solutions to treat these not only lust, but remaining five problems, five symptoms, not only five, six symptoms, but also the actual disease, that is enjoying mentality, lording over material nature. So Bhagavatam offers these three-step solutions, Lord's beautiful form, Lord's beautiful fame and Lord's beautiful name. That's why right from first canto, as the warnings for lust is given right from third canto, in the medicine, the solution is offered right from first canto and it goes till 12 cantos. Yes, first canto, if you see how Lord Krishna, when he is departing from the Hastinapur or entering Dwaraka, beautiful form of Krishna is described. Yes, second canto, Paramatma's form is described. Third canto, Lord Kapila's beauty. Fourth canto, fifth canto, you see every canto practically. There is beautiful description of Lord's form again and again. Why it is given? Because that is the actual solution. Yes. So when the Lord's beautiful form description comes, it's very important to put a pause and what you call, assimilate the beauty, appreciate the beauty, learn to appreciate the beauty of the Lord's form. And when you come in front of beautiful forms of Radha Vrindavan, Chandra, Gaur, Nitai, so we actually, you know, meditate on those verses that describe the beautiful form of the Lord and take darshan for a long time. The more we take darshan for a long time, the more whatever, you know, images, impressions have gone inside, they will be removed. That's why Bhakti Yoga and Bhaktas are safest, because they have something alternative solution. Jnanis don't have alternative solution. Karmis don't look for solution. They're happy with their own problem. Jnanis want to look for solution, but they don't know solution. They only know problem, and they keep on telling no to the problem. Neti, neti, neti. But they don't know where to take shelter of. Yes. Devotees, Jnanis only tell no. Karmis, they tell yes to Maya and no to Krishna. Jnanis, they tell no to Maya, but they don't tell yes to Krishna. But devotees, they tell no to Maya and yes to Krishna. So only when you tell yes to Krishna, then only we can be successful in telling no to Maya. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. It's not so easy. Yes, how long we keep on telling no, 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 without accepting something? Yes. Yes. So unless we have something alternatives, very powerful yes to tell for, we cannot continue telling no for something for a long time. We may tell for some time, but not for long time. That's why Bhagavatam offers alternative solutions. Holy name, holy form, and holy fame. Yes, that's very important. That's why Krishna mercifully is called as Govinda. Why is called as Govinda? Give pleasure to senses. Yes, that means what? Krishna expands himself into respective sense objects for every sense to engage them. Yes, we have five senses, we have respective five sense objects which distract us. But Krishna expands mercifully into five respective sense objects to keep us engaged. Yes, for eyes, Krishna expands as beautiful form. For ears, Krishna expands as Krishna's beautiful fame to hear, his beautiful name. Tongue, Krishna expands as prasad and holy name and holy katha. And your nose, to expand for, Krishna expands as fragrance. the scent, the flowers offered to Krishna, Tulsi offered to Krishna. Yes. And then the touch, Krishna, we have different varieties of engagement services to engage in Krishna service. Yes. That's why Krishna is called Govinda, because he knows conditioned soul's problem. Yes. And he mercifully expands for that matter. And that's why we have Sambandha, we have Abhideya. Abhideya means what basically? What is Abhideya? Process. What is the process? Engage the senses in service of Krishna. And the Abhideya Murti is Govinda Dev. Isn't it? So Govinda Dev means what basically? He gives us that five sense objects to engage our senses in the particular service of the Lord. That is why. Yes. So that is a solution for that. So just like here, you know. So just like here we find, no, where Agnidar goes crazy in describing every limb of Purvachitti. So before this narration comes, Lord Kapila, before only, in third canto, gives beautiful narration of every limb of Lord. So for next few minutes, we see the description of every limb of Lord. Unfortunately, altar is closed, so we have different altar now in the form of PPT. Yes. So we'll recite some verses. Please repeat after me. Prasanna vadanam bhojam. Padma garbharunekshanam neelotpaladalashyamam shankha chakra gadadharam. Please read translation. Somebody has marked. Countenance.
Interior of the lotus and swarthy body like the petal of the blue lotus. He bears a conch, discus and mace in the three of the hands, three of his hands.
Lasat pankaja kinjalka pita kausheya vasasam srivatsavaksha shambrajat kaustubha mukta kandaram.
His loins are covered by a shining cloth, yellowish like the filaments of a lotus. On his breast he bears the mark of Srivatsa, a curl of white hair. The brilliant Kaustubha gem is suspended from his neck.
Next.
His loins and hips encircled by a girdle, he stands on lotus of his devotee's heart. He is most charming to look at, and his serene aspect gladdens the eyes and souls of the devotees who behold him.
Next. Okay, now that comes lotus feet meditation comes. Please repeat after me.
Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrankushadvaja Saroruhalanchanadyam Uttungarakta Vilasannaka Chakravala Josna Virahata Mahadrudayandakaram.
Concentrate mind on the Lord's lotus feet, which are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt, a goat, a banner, and a lotus. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart.
Dhyatur manashamala shaila nishrishta vajram. Dhyaye siram bhagavata charanaravindam.
Shiva becomes auspicious by bearing Ganges, Lord's charanamrit on head. The Lord's feet act like thunderbolts to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time.
Dhyaye chiram. Chiram means long time. Bhagavata charana aravindam. Next. So now Lord's feet is over. Now next above is Lord's thighs. Yes.
Janudvayam jala jalochanaya jananya. Lakshmya kilasya suravanditaya vidhatuhu. Urvor nidhaya karapallava rochishayat samlalitam hrudi vibhor abhavasya kuryat.
Mother Lakshmi, mother of Brahma, and worshipped by many demigods, found massaging carefully the legs of the Lord.
Translation.
Lord's thighs are the storehouse of all energy and are whitest blue, like the luster of the linseed flower, and uppermost graceful when the Lord is carried on the shoulders of Garuda. Also, contemplate his rounded hips, which are encircled by a girdle that rests on the exquisite velo silk cloth that extends down to his ankles.
Next. Now, this is about navel. Next. This is about chest. The translation.
Chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the abode of Goddess Mahalakshmi. The Lord's chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and full satisfaction for the eyes. The neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaustubh gem which hangs on his chest.
Next. Translation.
The lotus-like countenance of the Lord completely nourishes the anxious devotees. His nose is prominent and his crystal clear cheeks are illuminated by the oscillation of his glittering alligator shaped earrings.
Next. Yes, Sri Niketam Alibik Parisevyamanam Bhutva Swaya Kutila Kuntala Ravinda Justam Meenadvaya Shayamadikshipadar Abjanetram Dhyayed Manomayam Atandrita Vulla Sadbhru.
The beautiful face of the Lord is adorned with curly hairs and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. A lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by its elegance.
Next. Asam hare ravanata kila loka tivra. Sokashru sagara vishoshanamatyudaram. Sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. Bhrumandalam munikruter makaradvajasya.
Benevolent smile of Lord Shri Hari, which for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages.
Next. And this description of Lord's beauty reaches its crescendo in 10th canto when Sukadeva Goswami tells the beauty of Krishna. Varhapidam natavaravapu karnayo karnikaram. Bibradvasha kanaka kapisham vaijayantim samalam. Randran venu radara sudaya purayan gopa vrindai. Vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti.
Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flower on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajanti garland, the Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints.
So one more verse Brahmaji describes. So there are many verses like this. I collected only few. There are unlimited verses. If you want, you can do a research and collect the verses along with the respective photo of the Lord and keep on meditating. All our lust problem will fly to air forever. Yes. So this is one solution Bhagavatam offers, the holy form of the Lord. And second important solution Bhagavatam offers is holy name of the Lord, isn't it? In traditional Vedic society, so we have three things which offer some inconceivable solutions. What are they? One is mani, mantra, and aushadhi. How these three act is something very inconceivable. For example, mani. We have Chintamani. What is the glory of Chintamani? To touch that to anything, it becomes gold, isn't it? How that happens? It's a big question. No, there is no science involved, there is no reaction happening. It's inconceivable, achintya, isn't it? And second is aushadhi, medicine. How medicine acts, it's something inconceivable. Especially Ayurvedic medicine, herbal medicine can even cure cancer. Yes, just by taking herbal medicine for 6 months to 8 months, that treats cancer. How that is happening, it's again inconceivable. And third is mantra. Now if somebody, Prabhupada tells, when somebody is bitten by snake, this what one has to do? Somebody chants mantra, there's something called Garuda mantra. When somebody chants Garuda mantra, the poison decreases, it goes away. How that happens, the modern scientists and allopathy doctors get big question mark, isn't it? But these three are inconceivable. So similarly, holy name is compared to these three, mani, aushadhi, and mantra. And how this holy name acting as these three will cure our six anardas and the ultimate disease is also inconceivable. But whatever it may be, whether understand or not, let us take holy name in the form of these three, mani, mantra, and aushadhi. So Padma Puran tells about how holy name acts as mani. Go to next. Next. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvam Nama Naminaha. So Nama Chintamani, Krishna Nama is Chintamani. Why it is Chintamani? Just like Chintamani converts anything into gold, whoever takes Krishna name, Krishna Nama, converts them into pure devotees. Whether it is olden days or modern times, it doesn't matter. We have example of olden times, Ratnakar, Murugari. Modern times, we have example of hippies. And we are all there, living examples. How we become transformed? Because of chanting holy name. How that happens? Big mystery. But it does happen. Next. This is about aushadhi. Vyamoha prasham aushadam munimano vritti pravritta aushadam. Daityendrarti karaushadam tribhuvane sanjeevanai kaushadam. Bhaktyantahitaushadam bhavabaya pradvamshanai kaushadam. Shreya prapti karaushadam pibamana shri krishna divya aushadam. So Kulashekar is telling mind, my dear mind, please drink this Divya Aushadam, transcendental medicine. What is the transcendental medicine? Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And last but not least, how holy name is topmost mantra. Shatru Chedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram. Samsaro Cheda Mantram Samuchita Tamasa Sangha Niryana Mantram. Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram Vyasana Bhujaga Sandashta Santrana Mantram. Jihve Shri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam Janma Safalya Mantram. So it's telling Shatru Chedaika Mantram. This mantra defeats all the Shatrus. Which Shatrus? Not external, but internal Shatrus. Sakalam Upanishad, all Upanishads. Sampujya Mantram. This mantra is worshipped by all Upanishads. Samsaro Cheda Mantram. This mantra can uproot samsara. Samuchita Tamasa Sangha Niryana Mantram. It removes all the tamasa, ignorance. Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram. It bestows the topmost opulence. What is that? Krishna Prem, which chant every devotee morning will chant, right? The topmost opulence is Krishna Prem, that holy name bestows. Vyasana Bhujaga Sandashta Santrana Mantram, it removes all the conditionings. Yes. Jihve Shri Krishna Mantram, oh my dear tongue is praying. Japa Japa Satatam, always chant this Mahamantra. So it's not chanting only 16 rounds, it is how long? Satatam, always chant Shri Krishna Mantram, that's what it is. So that is the power of holy name. So holy, I have not taken PPTs about the holy katha, holy fame, because lack of time, but we discussed about holy form and holy fame. So we have two letters about from Srila Prabhupada, how he is encouraging his disciples to chant more rounds. Many times we think chanting 16 rounds means done, isn't it? But if what the medicine to act very fastly to remove these anarthas, this one more word document is in that folder. So he is encouraging to chant more rounds. Yes, somebody can read.
I letter to Bhavanand. My dear Bhavanand, I have received Jayapataka's letter and noted the content carefully. My special blessings for Palika and Kaushalya Prabhus, who are doing so much for our Lord, and they must be specifically blessed to go back home, back to Godhead, without any delay for waiting for the next life. Thank them very much on my behalf. I am so pleased to hear that you are chanting a minimum of 25 rounds daily. It is a good example as the precedent to be followed by others. If you like, every one of us can chant 25 rounds. It is not difficult, but because we are sometimes busy, minimum 16 rounds must be chanted. Kindly see that this principle is strictly observed by your subordinates in the temple. My dear Bhakti Jan, please accept my blessings. I am so glad to receive your letter dated Feb 10, 1968 and have noted the contents. The strong hand of Maya is insurmountable as it stated in the Bhagavad Gita. But if one sticks to Krishna consciousness with firmness, then he can easily surmount. My instructions I have already given to you. How to chant the beads and how to protect yourself from the offenses. I shall advise you again to chant always, increasing the counting, namely, 16 rounds is generally prescribed, but for the time being, you can stop all other activities and increase the chanting to 64 rounds. Follow the rules and regulations strictly. If you want sex life, then you are at liberty to get yourself married, but don't have illicit sex with some Maya's representatives. That won't help you in your spiritual advancement. We don't forbid sex life, but we cannot allow illicit sex. For a young man, it is very difficult to check sex desire. Therefore, best thing is for him to get himself married and live like a responsible gentleman. A responsible man cannot make progress materially or spiritually. You are intelligent young man. You can understand things as we say, and you follow and you will be benefited. Mistakes we may commit because it is not out of human activity, but at the same time we must use our good consciousness how to achieve the goal of our life, Krishna. Please stick to this chanting process sincerely without any offense and everything will be all right with you. Thank you once more for remembering me. Hope you are well.
So how here Paul is encouraging that you have that problem. So take this chanting verse very seriously, it will cure the problem. Japa japa satatam janma safalya mantram. That is what. So sorry for delay. To summarize, so we began with the chronology of Srimad Bhagavatam, how it flows. And we came to this particular narration, what this narration is trying to teach us. How Srimad Bhagavatam is treating the conditioned soul with the medicine in the keeping the mind. The disease is enjoy mentality, manifested by the six symptoms. And Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end treats that disease. And the warnings from lust, of lust starts from third canto itself. And Richard says epitome in ninth canto, because tenth canto is the prescription, this topmost wanted activity. And Bhagavatam prescribes the medicine for this problem, for the disease. The three stage problem, three set problem. What is? Holy fame, holy name and holy form. And we discussed in detail how Bhagavatam goes into detail describing the every limb of Lord and how much we should meditate on that, not to contract the problem of lust. Yes, and holy name and also holy fame. Thank you very much for a patient hearing. I'm very, very sorry for going for a delay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samasta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. This PPT, I did not make this. Our Vrajadam Prabhu is in Seva office. I requested him to make because he has a lot of time. So he made it. In fact, he made 3-4 times. And I gave him more editions and then he did it so patiently and sent me. I'm very thankful to him.